between the life we see and the world we dream, there are stories when they are told. Nightmares become imagination. So please.
Thomas, you aren't.
Hello to the guild. I hope the fear from today's stories will keep you warm this winter. Welcome to the Dim Light Anxiety Podcast. I am your host, Giggles, because whenever I get too scared, I like to break into laughter, which I do on occasion. It's just such a good tension reliever. Okay, on to the story. Or should I say stories? At this point, because we have 2.25 stories? 2.25? Why the 2.5? Well, today we are ending with a taste of a series I wrote when I first started this podcast. I was saving it for just such an occasion like this. To hear the last 4 parts of the story, you will have to check back in on December 31st, New Year's Eve for some, to hear the final episode of this podcast, at least for now. As you guys know, my schedule has been bursting at the seams trying to juggle my master's program, my new career, and just plain adulting. So this will be the last month for the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety. But at least this month will be chock full of terror. We have our regularly scheduled programming, today's episode. Then you will get your yearly gift of laughter on the 25th with the blooper episode. And finally, the last episode will be published at the end of December. So mark your calendars because you don't want to miss any of these. But we have a lot of horror to wade through today, so I think it's about time we start to that. Everyone ready? Are you sure? You might want to wiggle around a bit or something. Okay then. I guess I am too. Okay. Not scared at all, I promise. Kitties, come close. All right, here we go. To get this going, check out this very talented and celebrated author, The Vespers Bell, who is the creator of our first story. You can find them on Reddit, on Kindle with their published stories, and so many other places. The 4th volume of The Heroic Chronicles has just been published and is now out and available. Wink, wink. Also written by this author, if you didn't guess that. But I have links to direct you to some of these awesome things I just described in the description of this episode. So definitely check it out. Even with this podcast editing, I am still always open to hear your terror tales. From campy to, how did this place get so dark so quickly? Scary. I want to hear them all because your fucked up brains came up with them. You can still email your mind's creations to dimlightanxiety@gmail.com. Who knows? If I get enough, maybe I will restart our guild. So, I guess that leaves us with just one question. What's your story? Both the full stories in this episode have a common theme. Forms that seem to lure the reader in until we find out the truth. Sometimes, truth can be beautiful, and sometimes it can be terrifying. What will we find in these stories? Submitted for the approval of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety, I call this story The Tales of the Unassuming Forms. Titled, A Perfectly Reasonable Amount of Lawn Gnomes. Holy crap, that's a lot in lawn gnomes! When I had told my cousin Tiana that the house at the end of the cul-de-sac had an enormous gnome garden, I don't think my description had adequately prepared her for the reality of it. I had never counted them, but there must have been hundreds of them. At least, it felt like there were hundreds of them. There were enough of them that it was instantly creepy when you saw it. Just intuitively knew that no sane, rational person would ever hoard such a mammoth amount of lawn gnomes. You can't even see them from the street because of the hedge, so what's the point? Tiana asked, looking around from one gnome to the next, trying desperately to spot some method to the madness. I know. It's like he's hiding them. I think he's afraid that if they were in plain view, they'd be too tempting to steal or break, I suggested. Trick-or-treating is pretty much the only time I ever get to see these things. I swear, there's more of them every year. So, it's like some kind of crazy cat lady thing then? Tiana asked. That's what my mom says, that Mr. Malberg has some kind of OCD hoarding disorder, I replied. They're so weird looking, Tiana said as she knelt down to examine one closest to us. Does he make them himself? I honestly didn't know, but I had considered it. They certainly didn't look like anything there was a mass market for. They were squat and lumpy little things, their expressions dead-eye and dull, their features ill-defined, and their colors all unsaturated yet unfaded despite most of them having been left out in the sun and rain for years. None of them had any damage at all, as far as I could tell. He maintains them, at least. They mean a lot to him for some reason, so I don't mess with them, I cautioned her. They don't look carved or even molded. They look organic, like they've been grown or something. Chitinous, that's the word. They're like seashells that look like people, Tiana claimed, mesmerized by the particular ornament before her. I saw her raise her hand and slowly reach forward to touch it. Don't! I mean it! Mr. Malberg's nice, but there are all kinds of crazy stories about what he does to kids who steal or break his gnomes, I warned her. The sound of an older man theoretically clearing his throat to announce his presence caught us both off guard. Tiana shut up and we both turned towards the front porch, where we saw Mr. Malberg leaning against the door frame. Mr. Malberg was a tall and slim white man, balding with a limp, shoulder-length gray hair. He was wearing a pair of spectacles and Mr. Rogers-like outfit of a cardigan, slacks, and shiny dress shoes. He looked serious, but not angry or upset, and certainly not crazy. Hello, April, he said flatly with a mirthless smile. Hello, Mr. Malberg, I stammered with an anxious swallow. I'm sorry for what I just said. Mom says I shouldn't repeat unsubstantiated rumors about people.
It's all right, April. Nothing I haven't heard before, he said, reaching down to the gnome by his door and feeling the top of its cap between his fingers, pausing as if he was trying to detect something.
Who's this you've brought with you?
Oh, this is my cousin Tiana. She's taking me trick-or-treating this year, I replied. Tiana, this is Mr. Malberg. He lives here with the gnomes.
Hello, Tiana said with an awkward wave. And I'm trick-or-treating with her. I'm just in charge because I'm older.
Mr. Malberg nodded and reached into his house to pull out the bowl of Halloween candy.
Let's get on with it then, he said,
gesturing for us to come forward.
Setting aside a momentary awkwardness, Tiana and I eagerly rush forward with our bags open and outstretched. Trick or treat! We ritualistically said in unison.
Just a witch hat and a black dress, Tiana. That's not very original or challenging costume now, is it?
He asked. He cast his eyes toward me with a bit more approval.
You're a dragonfly, April?
Yes, thank you. Everyone else thinks I'm supposed to be a fairy, I said. That's because a witch and a fairy make a lot more sense than a dragonfly, Tiana murmured under her breath.
There's no reason why your lack of creativity should stifle that of others, Tiana, Mr. Malberg claimed. I don't see too many insect costumes, especially on girls. It's nice to see someone who treats Halloween as an opportunity for self-expression.
He tossed the candy into our bags, giving noticeably more to me than Tiana as a reward for my costume. Thank you, I said with a huge grin. Thanks, Tiana said with a bit more perfunctionarily than me. So, you have a pretty aggressive garden gnome here, Mr. Malberg. Can I ask you where they come from? Tiana! I scolded through my teeth, my eyes trained on Mr. Malberg for any possible sudden outbursts.
It's fine, April, Mr. Malberg assured me with a weary nod. There were gifts, all of them, an inheritance in a way. I realize they're actually a bit of an eyesore, which is why I keep the hedges up so I don't get any complaints from the HOA. But getting rid of them or sticking them in storage facility somewhere would be incredibly disrespectful on my part, so gnomes get free run of my lawn.
Okay, Tiana said as she mulled over his explanation. But April said that you've gotten more of them over the years, so is this like some kind of deferred inheritance of lawn ornaments or...
Happy Halloween, girls, Mr. Malberg says as he stepped back inside his house and politely, but firmly, closed the door in our faces.
That was mean, Tiana, I said as we turned around and began to walk down the sidewalk back to the street. What? That guy says he was getting lawn gnomes as dividends, and I'm not allowed any follow-up questions? She asked. I don't buy it. Maybe his wife that originally collected gnomes, and she either died or left him, and he's never gotten over it. So he keeps getting more of them as a coping mechanism to act like she never... We both jumped at the sound of a small piece of ceramic falling to the ground. The nose and upper lip of a gnome nearest to us had it inexplicably broken off. What did you do? I asked, aghast, turning back towards the house to check if Mr. Malberg had seen what had happened. Me? I didn't do anything. I'd never even touched it, she insisted. Oh no, I said as I started to hyperventilate, every story that I'd ever heard about Mr. Malberg racing through my mind all at once. Hey, it's okay. Calm down. We'll just go. It's Halloween. There's lots of kids and parents coming and going. He won't even know it was us, she suggested. He'll know, I said in a strained whisper. Then we'll go back and tell him what happened, was her next idea. You said yourself that he must be maintaining these things. This can't be the first time something like this has happened. He'll tell us that he'll just be able to glue it back and not worry about it. I promise. I shook my head fervently, too scared to confess to the crime of merely being present when the gnome broke, but inadequately too scared to flee.
Fine. Then we'll just put the piece back for now, and it will fall out on its own again later,
she said, bending down to pick up the broken piece.
What are you doing? Don't touch it,
I demanded.
No, it's fine. See? It's a clean break. I should be able to slide it right back into place without it even being all that noticeable,
she claimed.
She then began to put the broken piece back in place. When she paused, lowered it, and took a much deeper look inside the hollow interior of the gnome. April, I think there's something in there, she whispered. Another crack appeared on the gnome's exterior, this one nearly splitting straight down the middle.
Tiana stumbled backwards and pulled me back with her as we watched it slough off the fragments of its chitinous shell, freeing itself in a matter of seconds. What was left was a still, soft, and wet exoskeleton, the size of at least a small dog, wriggling and pulsing as it labored to take its first breaths. We watched in morbid disgust as the overgrown insect unfurled itself to reveal a golden pair of wings and eyes against its dark bronze carapace. It vaguely resembled a cicada, only with a much longer and thinner abdomen, like what one might find on a dragonfly or butterfly.
What the hell?
Tiana cursed softly. I wanted to run, but I also didn't want to leave the protection of her arms. And she was still too transfixed by the bizarre and grotesque spectacle we had just witnessed to want to flee. The cicada rolled over so that its feet were firmly on the ground, and then started beating its wings rapidly. It couldn't fly yet. The wings were still too wet. It was beating them to help them dry quicker. An ear-splitting humming, cicada songs began to resonate through the air. And this, it seems, was the original signal for the other gnomes to start hatching. Random smattering of gnomes began to shake and crack from the inside, and we were now standing in the middle of the lawn. It was a minefield of the strange creatures, with any one of them capable of bursting open at any moment. Tiana and I both began to whimper as we stood, too petrified to move, hoping the whole ordeal would be over as soon as it began.
Girls, we heard Mr. Malberg shout. He had presumably been drawn back out to the porch by the cicada song. He was now desperately waving us over.
Quickly, before they take flight!
The gnome nearest to our feet began to crack, and that was enough to send us both screaming across the lawn, back up the sidewalk, and into Malberg's house. He immediately slammed it shut and turned the lock, but kept a steady vigil on the window in case anyone else stumbled upon the bugs.
Eggs? They're eggs! Tiana screamed.
Pulpa, actually. Those are their adult forms out there, he corrected her. Their cocoons look like lawn gnomes to help them remain inconspicuous in the suburban environment. They're less inconspicuous all clustered together like this, but it's still a reasonable defense. I knew they'd be coming out of their pulpas before winter, but I was really hoping it wouldn't be tonight.
Okay, what the hell is going on? Tiana demanded. Why the hell do you have hundreds of giant bug pulpas disguised as long gnomes in your front yard?
This time, Mr. Ballberg looked less irritated and more contrite at Tiana's question.
I raised them here, he confessed. They're not dangerous. They're herbivores. I hatch their eggs in a terrarium downstairs and feed them compost. They have an irregular years-long pulpation stage, so once they pulpate, I put them outside so when they come out, they'll be able to just fly off. As soon as they reach their adult stage, they instinctively fly northwest. I don't know where they go, but I assume they have some isolated pocket of wilderness somewhere they can remain hidden from the world. When it's time for them to breed, they make their way back here, if they can. Like sea turtles returning to the beach they hatched on. They lay their eggs and I take them in, and it starts all over again. It started when one of them crashed in my backyard and laid its eggs with its dying breath. I had never seen such an enormous insect before, let alone one so beautiful. Coelacanth, I think. Remnants of a long-vanished primeval world. They're survivors from the Carboniferous period, having somehow adapted to the lower oxygen levels and everything else that's been thrown at them since, and yet the fact that they're still unknown to science can only mean their numbers are sparse. I knew I had to do everything in my power to make sure the eggs survived. I took them inside, kept them at a steady temperature, and fed them when they hatched. When they pulpated, I was as surprised as you were that they looked like lawn gnomes. I think it's some kind of epigenetic camouflage that originally adapted to mimic local rocks, but now mimics human structures, like hermit crabs using pop cans as shells. Their pulpation period is so long that I thought they died, so I put them out in the backyard as mementos. Until one night, I heard the cicada song. It came out just in time to see them emerging. They flew off, but some eventually returned to lay more eggs. More and more make it back each time, so apparently, I'm doing a fairly decent job as a cryptid conservationist. I'm sorry they scared you, girls. I don't keep them here to creep people out. I keep them here to ensure they survive. Please, come look out the window. They're about to take flight. It's beautiful. You'll see there's nothing to be afraid of.
Tiana and I glanced at one another nervously before we warily approached the window nest to Mr. Ballberg. There were dozens of them, sitting out upon the lawn, beating their golden wings as they shimmered in the moonlight. Then one of them, the first one who emerged, started hovering off the ground, and the rest of them followed suit. All at once, they rotated to face northwest, pointed themselves away from our neighborhood and towards the woods behind us, taking off an upwards trajectory like a flock of geese. The house vibrated with the humming of their wings, and they flew over the roof. Mr. Malberg rushed outside to get one last look at the rare prehistoric insects he had reared from generation to generation, with Tiana and I racing out right alongside him. I was able just to make out the golden tint of their wings and the shine of their carapaces against the black backdrop of the night before they swiftly faded from view and out of my world forever. Wow, I gushed softly, looking around at the dozens of still intact lawn gnomes with a newfound appreciation and understanding for what they were. Mr. Malberg stepped back into his house briefly and came back out with the candy bowl once again in his hands.
Here, take what you like for your trouble. Just leave me enough for the rest of the trick-or-treaters, he offered.
I eagerly grabbed a handful of my favorite chocolate bars, but Tiana was a bit more hesitant.
Are you buying our silence? She asked.
Tell whoever you'd like. The more crazy story about my gnomes circulating amongst the local kids doesn't matter to me, he said with a shrug.
That was almost a decade ago now. My mom's remained married and moved in with her new husband, and while our old house still is hers on paper, she's informally bequeathed it to me. I've taken in Tiana as a roommate to help with the expenses, but I chose her specifically because she's the only one who knows the truth about Mr. Malberg's gnomes. The other day I went over to Mr. Malberg's house, noting that his lawn was as filled with gnomes as ever as I walked up to and knocked on his front door.
April, hello. Good to see you. What brings you over? He greeted.
Hello, Mr. Malberg, I smiled. My mom's all moved out now, so the house is mine to do as I like. I couldn't help but notice that things are getting a bit crowded over here. So I was wondering, how would you feel about rehoming some of your gnomes?
Guys, that story was really cool. Almost sweet how they took care of the poor buggers. Great story. I just love the imagination involved and would love to see that actually or experience that actual sight. Let's give one final shout out to this talented Reddit author, The Vesper's Bell. Don't forget to check out the description for all the links for this author, including their new published story. So check it out. Now, this next story is bound to have you questioning your sanity. What would you do if your senses were being fooled? Would you even know? Titled, It Knocks, by the Reddit author, you can find under the username Oz Wonders with a Z.
Hello, I'm Thomas White, but everyone calls me Tom. Before I say anything, I should tell you a bit about myself. I'm a healthcare worker, so you can say I see odd things daily. A few odd things shouldn't bother me much. So when I first worked the night shift at the hospital, I thought, this wouldn't be that different from the day shift.
You wouldn't believe how much I would regret thinking that later. Of course, I hear all of the ghost stories about the night shift, and most stories on Reddit as well. Okay, with all of that background around me out of the way, I think it's about time I tell you about what happened to me that night. This happened during the winter of 2000 in the hospital where I was working at the time. The hospital staff all knew what was happening but said nothing. And now that I'm older, I understand why they said nothing, because
I would have said nothing if I was in their shoes as well, and haven't said anything when I've been in their shoes, so. The first night working that shift passed like any other shifts I worked before. Gossip here, gossip there, staff talking about rumors concerning the doctors working there, and stuff like that. The second, third, and fourth nights were all the same as the first, but on the fifth night, I was in the RT room writing my reports for the patients I was given that night. Usually, the RT room door is shut, but this night, I kept the door open to circulate the air in the room. I was writing my report and talking to the nurse because I was getting bored of writing and I needed a break. While we were talking, the call bell for one of the patients' room went off and he had to leave to check on the patient, so I waited for a bit until he came back. It was about 2 minutes. While he was gone, one of the other patients, a kid, no younger than 10, popped his head from the side of the door and asked if I could get him some water. This kid scared the fucking hell out of me, because I wasn't expecting him to pop out like that, but after a second, I was like, sure, kid. The water machine was only a few rooms down from mine. When I got the water, the kid thanked me and said, "Mister, why do you keep talking to that chair over there?" When he said that, I told him that I was talking to the nurse. Then the kid just said, "Are you blind, mister? No one has been there since this morning." And pointed at the nurse's station in the south hall. The RT room is in the north hall. "All the nurses are over there, mister." This mofo just told me I was talking to a fucking ghost. Okay. After that, I closed my door and finished my reports. The rest of the night, I was too tired to be dealing with that kind of shit. The next night, I went to the nurse's station to ask if anyone had worked the north station the other day. And of course, nobody was working on my side of the hospital that night. Then I asked about the kid I was talking to last night as well, and the nurse said that he went home that morning. I was so happy because not only did the kid get better, I wasn't talking to two different ghosts. So, you know, pretty happy about that. I didn't get tricked twice. Yoo-hoo. The rest of the night went okay. I just had a lot of meds to give to the patients. That's all that really happened that night. A few days passed, and then it happened again. I had my door open because it got stuffy in the room, and then someone started talking to me. This time, I looked at the mirror that I could see from the RT room that was on the ceiling. What I saw was not a nurse. It wasn't even a person. It looked like a person, but something was off. I couldn't tell what it was. I just knew it wasn't a person. I kept staring at the mirror on the ceiling outside the RT room. I was looking at it, but I wouldn't respond to any of its questions. At some point, it looked up at the mirror, too, and we were staring at each other. This lasted for what felt like an hour. Then it spoke while staring at me. "Can you see what I am?" I answered, "I don't know." Then it got up and walked out of the mirror's reflection. I couldn't see it anymore, but it started tapping on the walls as it got closer to me. Tip, tap, tip, tap, tip, tap. When it stopped, I couldn't see it or hear it anymore, but I knew it was just next to my door, and it asked one more question. "Do you want to see what I am?" I was too scared to speak, so after a few minutes it asked again, "Do you want to see what I am?" I couldn't speak or move. I just waited. I could feel it waiting for me to answer, then I heard walking. It was different, no tapping, just footsteps coming closer to my room. Then one of the older nurses from the other station popped into my room asking if I could look in at one of the other patients. I just got up and went and looked at the patient. When I was done, I told the nurse what had happened, and she just looked at me. I went to her desk at the nurse's station, gesturing for me to follow her. When she sat down, she let out a big sigh and said, "Honey, I know what you saw, and just know this. You were lucky you didn't answer his last question, because no matter what the answer, it would have taken you. The nurses and older staff know about the knocker. That's what we call it here, because when it moves around, it knocks on the walls. Whenever it comes close at night, the night workers here just know to take a small break and look down and not answer any questions, because we know if you hear knocking or tapping, never answer the question." I asked, "Why didn't anyone tell me about this?" All she replied was, "Honey, would you have believed us if we said anything?" I just stayed quiet. Then she said, "Keep your door closed from now on, honey. It can't open doors. But it will knock on your door until you open it. Just know, whenever you are needed, we will call you on the phone." All I said was, "Okay." I have worked here for 15 years now. That nurse has long since retired, and I still hear it walking by my room now and then. Many RNs and RTs have come and gone, but everyone in the hospital knows they don't answer its questions. Well, this is what I wanted to tell you guys. Whether you believe me or not, I don't care. Just know, if you ever work in a hospital at night and you hear a tapping or something knocking on the wall coming your way, look down. Don't answer any questions from a voice you don't recognize. Huh. Just don't answer questions in a hospital? I mean, sounds kind of like a totally attainable goal, of course. All joking aside, this story was super great and very interesting. Gave me so many goosebumps, like, oh. Okay. Well, you heard it too. What do you think? Was it scary enough? Or better question, can you do better? Can you scare the laughter out of me? Now for the details. Today's writing prompt is inspired by the upcoming winter season. Can you work with this prompt? The twinkling lights were all she could see when she realized she couldn't move as the snow continued to bury her. Use that sentence as inspiration or those exact words in your story. Either way, let them lead you to your nightmare. The idea is scary enough, but it's what you do with it that can send it over the edge. Why can't she move? Is someone there to help her? What else is going on around her? Can she make noise? How did she get here? I mean, so many questions I'm dying to know. So once you're able to squeeze a story out of your brain, send it to my email for a chance to have it come to life. If you don't know my email, just check out the website. Links to my email and social media are all on the website, as well as so much more. I mean, wait, what's the website, you ask? Oh, really? That's easy. It's just the name of the podcast with the .com at the end. That's dimlightanxiety.com. Speaking of stories, let's give one final shout out to the fabulous writer you can find on Reddit under the username OzWonders. Check out the description for the correct spelling if you're not sure. If you enjoyed today's story and or today's episode, please give me a like, follow, subscribe, or review on any platform you use to listen to today's episode. Just something as simple as that can really help these writers get the attention they deserve. If you are feeling really passionate about this podcast, tell your friends. Tell your friends. Hell, tell a stranger. Let them all leave laughing scared. Don't forget that the next episode will be the blooper gift on the 25th. But after that, the final episode of this podcast will be published on December 31st. It will be the bonus episode I owe you guys for missing September's story and the end to the story that you are about to hear, which will make you ask the question, do you know what's going on? Written by your host, Giggles. Hey, that's me. I'm glad to get to finally share this intricate story with you. Enjoy, if you dare. Submitted for the approval of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety for the second time tonight, I call this story The Tale of the Horror Host, Part 1. The light was blinding through the kitchen window. She just finished doing an interview with a small program this time about the years of work she put into develop her brand through her podcast. The sun seemed almost insulted to talk of such things in its presence as a stray beam through the small crack of curtains seared into her eyes. She kind of missed the days of quietly sitting at home just watching TV, recording whenever she felt like it, and playing with her cats. And let me tell you, the cats have noticed her lack of free hands recently as well and are beginning to protest by sitting on everything she was trying to do. It was a damn sit-in, masterfully crafted by minds directed at one goal. Attention. She had not been able to write anything fun in weeks, let alone take time to read a whole book through without getting distracted only a few pages in. How could she possibly read a book when there was so much content from her listeners to read through? She wasn't complaining. She sounds like she is complaining, but it seems so easy instead of actually trying to be grateful. And don't get me wrong, she was thankful for everything she and her listeners had created together. This was just a new phase of the entire cycle. She went to the window and pulled the curtain all the way closed. The sun was too intense today for some reason. She looked out and saw a bright red Buick. She didn't even know they sold it in that color. Strange, she hadn't seen it in the neighborhood before. She knew all her neighbors' cars. Someone must have a visitor or something. Almost as if the car realized it had been spotted, it pulled out and sped down the street. All coincidental. Easily explained. She knew this from, funnily enough, the stories from her podcast. She started to hear this loud ringing in her ears, like the static from the TV only. This was so loud that she thought her ears were going to bleed. She saw it at first, just in the corner of her eyes. Then the darkness took over. As bright as the sun was, not even it would have been able to break through.
Feeling a soreness in her jaw, she woke to her face stuck to the floor by a puddle of drool. Thankfully, she wasn't that tall, so it wasn't a life-threatening fall, but just a mild bump. She was also glad about the cleaning of her floor she just did, as her mouth was practically tonguing the tile. Her cat was curled up beside her, purring, and when she saw her owner was awake, the cat purred louder and pushed her head against her human's cheek. That was weird, huh, kitty? Oh, hey, Shadow. Oh, sorry, guys. This is not part of the story. My baby girl heard me and just wanted to see what a kitty I was talking about. No kitty baby. Just a story of one. Okay, about that. Yes, you're adorable, but I'm trying to make a scary atmosphere, and though you're a black cat, that doesn't translate over the sound waves. I know. Crazy to me, too. Now, please lie down so I can continue. Good girl. Okay. We're back on track now. Think spooky as we continue on. Sorry about that interruption. She looked outside and noticed the sun, annoying sun, had set already. How did she lose a whole day? She hadn't even recorded her episode due at midnight. She had already had a tight day with the interview, but it was all scheduled out. What happened? She looked at the clock in the kitchen. 10:30? Are you fucking kidding me? She only once missed an episode upload, and that was because her mom died. She vowed then to record an emergency episode just in case. But she felt lazy last week, so she used the emergency episode, knowing that she cleared today to refresh the almost outdated one, backup one anyway. Still, stuck in her own head, she almost missed the red Buick outside again. It was closer this time. She grabbed her phone and took a photo, just in case. Then she called the doctor to set up an appointment. Whatever happened, it couldn't be good. She might as well get it checked out. He advised her to come in early tomorrow. No need to risk trying to drive. But the doctor still ran a simple concussion test over the phone. He deemed she didn't have a concussion, at least. However, randomly passing out still isn't really good, so it was good she called. He hung up the phone and checked out. She hung up the phone and checked to see if the car was still outside. Thinking she saw someone actually in the car, she moved closer to her window, her nose pressed against the cool surface, her eyes trying to focus to see if she could just make out a face when rustling feathers took over her vision. She slammed her head into the glass out of stupid involuntary reactions, then rushed backwards, her heart racing too quickly, her breath too short, and her head hurts even more now. Her vision cleared just enough to see a beautiful owl perched on the tree outside her window. Of course, it was just nature. And now the car is gone. The head knock must have been really loud to scare the car away. Either that, or the car was specifically watching her. That was the second time something she did spook it. All of this was no longer feeling coincidental. The next day, she visited the doctor's office. They ran tests all day,
and she's still only left with, "It must be stress."
While coming out of the doctor's office, she saw the red Buick down the road. She shook it off. She is just looking for them now, obviously. Laughing at herself, mostly to calm herself down, she finally made it to her car. There, she found a note tucked under her windshield wiper. She thought it was just an advertisement until she saw her name. It was written in red ink. How dramatic, she thought, but still looked around her area. There weren't as many cars at all and no people. She opened the letter. It read, "Do you know what's going on?" She turned it over. That was all that was on it. Tucking the note in her purse, she drove home. She just felt like she was exposed and had to get out of that parking lot. She didn't often leave her house anymore. I mean, she wasn't recognize your face famous, but when she started talking, don't get me, she loves her fans. Just everyday tasks now are an event. That's why she built a podcast booth in her apartment. She didn't want a larger space, or did she need it? Like most people when they became famous, just a more efficient one. She pulled the note out again and went to toss it in the trash can. She refused to waste any more time on it. But before she could let it go, that darkness crept in from the corner of her eyes again. Her hands darted to her ears, the sound dropping her to her knees from that same high-pitched sound as before. She woke this time tucked into her bed. It was 3 a.m. She was wearing pajamas and everything. She looked outside and saw what looked like 2 flashlight beams shining into her room. She froze, hoping they wouldn't see her if she just didn't move, trying desperately not to throw the covers over her head and pretend like this was all a dream. She forced her stunned, straight legs to bend and get out of bed. Thinking she must have a death wish, she grabbed her phone and took a photo of the window, then ducked behind the bed, perched and ready to make a crawling dash for the door. She glanced at the photo to see what she was dealing with. The camera was able to dim the brightness of the lights, making the shape of an owl barely visible. She let out an enormous laugh of relief, then tears started down her face. She thought the person in the red Buick had drugged the note, then followed her home to finish the deal. I mean, whatever the deal was, remained the question she wouldn't let her mind explore, at least yet. Besides, we know it's now just an owl. She let herself sob in relief and confusion. Whatever was going on, though, she realized someone had been in her house. They changed her clothes. She heard of fans that stalked their obsessions. She even had a mild case of one when she first started, but this was too far. She wouldn't risk going out at night, so she grabbed her knife and pepper spray from the kitchen, then hid in her closet until daylight. When the sun peeked through the cracks of the door, she decided she had time, at least, to brush her teeth. Walking into the bathroom, she saw her name in the same red writing on the envelope propped against the mirror. Her hands trembled as she tried to open it, slipping and slicing her finger a bit. She brushed it up to her lips, not
before a tiny drop of blood landed on those scrawled letters, the reds mixing together. She checked the cut and noticed the bleeding had already stopped. She continued to remove the note. It was the same question as before. "Do you know what's going on?" She immediately ran to the trash can, and sitting right on top was the first note. She peeked out the window and, without shock, saw the red Buick sitting in the parking lot. Her parking lot. Next to her car. She grabbed her phone and dialed 911. She has him now. He is right there. Ah, who's in the red Buick? I must know. I can't wait to know. Okay, here we go. Well, everybody, thanks for keeping me company during this. I don't know if I could have done it without you and the cats, of course, but don't leave yet, because I have one more teaser for you.
All right, ma'am. I think we have all the information we need. Just one last question.
Anything to help.
Did you have any electrical problems last night?
What? Why?
Your oven clock has stopped at 3 a.m.
She went over to try and change it, but none of the electronic buttons responded to her touch.
Looks like it's time for a new one. Good luck with that. If you have any more trouble, here's my card.
I declare this meeting of the Guild with Dim Light Anxiety closed. Until later this month, for our final hurrah, creep it real. This podcast does not condone any physical harm on yourself or others. These are fictional stories intended only for entertainment.